This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup. And good to see Dr. Cindy Gibson back in studio from Alta Point. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, Sean.
And Deputy Director Graves with the City of Mobile, welcome.
Thank you, Sean.
Let me tell you, first of all, thanks for coming in. And let's talk a bit about a subject that, okay, this comes up. I'd like to say every once in a while, it comes up every week or so on our shows. And that's the homeless population in Mobile.
Yes.
And heck, I mean, the homeless population right here where our studios are. A lot of folks around here and listeners asking, well, what are we doing to deal with it? What are the causes of it? Right. I mean, if you're going to try to help people, what causes it? And y'all are in the trenches with the city and with Alta Point trying to answer those questions and help those people. Right.
Yeah. We've partnered together to come up with some initiatives. And, you know, it's a common misconception that all homeless people are mentally ill. And that's just not true. It is a large percentage compared to the general population. It's about 18%. Who have a serious mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. But there is a large segment of that unhoused population who have substance use disorder and who may have substance use disorder and a mental illness. And, you know, we do have a number of veterans as well who are homeless. And
they may be suffering from those
PTSD
and conditions. So, I mean, that's a question. Just to get to the nitty-gritty on this, is the number of people that, you know, people see that are you know, in our city that are homeless, they're how many? Okay, let's deconstruct it. How many of them don't have a substance abuse or mental illness problem?
You know? Probably about 30% don't have substance use.
Okay.
Or higher than that with mental illness.
Okay, so that's significant.
Yeah. And so there are some people who just choose to be unhoused because they don't want the rules and the regulations or the cost that comes with being housed.
Okay.
And other people, you know, they may be on the sex offender registry and be very limited in where they can be housed. So, you know, there's a lot of variation in the unhoused population here in Mobile.
Okay, so those folks are choosing, but there's also to say those folks are choosing. There are people that are not choosing.
Correct.
This for a lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
Now, what are we doing with the city? What are we doing with Alta Point to address that? What's the city doing?
We are first of all working in tandem with our partners. You know, I think. When we think about homelessness, Sean, there are multiple layers of homelessness and individuals who are experiencing homelessness. We typically see the people who are out in the community in plain sight, but we never see the ones that are not in plain sight. I'll give an example.
Okay.
Our school system has somewhere in the neighborhood of about 5,000 families that are homeless.
5,000?
Right. They call them couch surfers. HUD, by their definition, do not call them unhoused. However, by their definition and our definition, they are unhoused if they don't have a permanent shelter somewhere to reside. And they're having
but they're
to
staying
under,
inside at night, but it's not their place or not their
it's
permanent
not place.
Their place. Okay.
Most of these
I
people,
can follow.
Yeah, a lot of them are underemployed. That's mm-hmm. and some are unemployed, but those who are underemployed. Let's say who could be the underemployed. It could be your person who works in the service sector, mm-hmm. someone who works at McDonald's, for example. Mm-hmm. It could be someone who works at a restaurant who barely makes it, and they don't make enough to actually pay rent. So rent's over $1,000 a month, okay? So if someone who can't afford that, what choices do they have? Oftentimes we do know that there are individuals who actually rent rooms in other people's homes, mm-hmm. and they pay as much as $900, Sean, just to try to stay there and try not to be under the stigma of being homeless. Those are the ones hiding in plain sight.
No, it is hiding in plain sight because you don't think about that.
No,
but that's somebody who doesn't have a permanent residence. So that's
right.
Yeah, I guess the ones we think about are the people we're going to see. You know, when y'all leave here or I'm coming into the station, those got the folks that are out, you know, okay, that person's outside. They got seemingly their belongings with them on their person. That's different than the person who's
living out of their car with their children. There are a lot of families in the school system that live out of their automobile, and they may have two or three children living in that car with them.
And let's break it down. Let's look at it from this standpoint. Sometimes you have to address the lowest hanging fruit. Sometimes the lowest hanging fruit that gives you the least resistance are those who are actually wanting help, and you try to provide that help to them. An example would be who we're talking about now, those families that are underemployed. The city is seeking ways of trying to identify opportunities for those who are underemployed in the city of Mobile. That helps us address our homelessness population, our unhoused population. What we see oftentimes on this in the street are people who oftentimes, more often than not, reject assistance.
I've heard these stories. I know y'all are in the front lines, but I've heard these stories of people that say these folks do not want to.
And it's not everyone. So let's make sure that we're clear on that. Everyone out there is not resistant of help. But far too often we come across those who do not want the assistance because they're dealing with a substance abuse. More so than mental illness, as Dr. Gibson alluded to or stated. A lot of these people are not wanting to actually go into places where they have to abide by orders or instructions or rules. Case in point, Waterfront Rescue Mission, Salvation Army, they all have rules. Okay. And those who are conflicted or dealing with issues of substance abuse do not want to comply with those rules. So their choices are very slim because they don't want to accept those rules. So it's hard to help individuals of that make up in their mind that they don't want the help that requires them to actually put forth an effort also.
But now you've got these people you're telling me that are the underemployed or the people that count surfers. It seems like you're talking about lowest hanging fruit in the triage list. You can help those people more quickly, right? That's an easier lift. They want help, right?
Exactly. They want help. And as we start to look at our true homeless or our unhoused population, we have to start looking at the totality of all unhoused and start looking at who can we help that will be more accepting of that assistance. Those are those families that are underemployed, those families that are struggling every day, trying to actually find ways of seeking affordable housing. And the city's doing that also. We're trying to identify and develop affordable housing in the city, because every city in the country is dealing with the same issue.
Well, you hear that come up. We talk about that even outside of this. It's affordable housing, City of Mobile, affordable housing. The mayor's talked about it, all that. So tell me how that works. If we get affordable housing, you play matchmaker? You know, those folks that are right now that are couch surfing, you go, okay, here's a place for you, but you got to do X, Y, Z. How do you match that?
I think what we have to do is start connecting them to resources. First of all, make sure they know that the resources exist. And the resources are not just the city. It's also the NGOs, the nonprofits that we have in the community. It's other agencies that can be part of that collective impact approach of identifying opportunities for people and connecting them to resources, and then doing warm handoffs, helping families identify those resources that they need. I'm one of those people who loves Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Okay.
Hey, y'all, you don't just hear it from me now. See, okay, bring it, because I talk to them about this a lot.
Right. So, you know, you have multiple levels to self-actualization, but, you know, at the very base are the most basic, tangible needs, psychological needs, all those things. You can't do anything until you address those needs. Shelter is one of them. Okay. But when we can start addressing those issues with those who want to receive those services, then we can start building and they can start building, and then they can start to see that it's possible to get out of the issues that they're currently facing.
And that's where our
homeless outreach
team and the use of iPads by patrol comes in, because the homeless outreach team is
– people hadn't heard that before. Dr. Gibson, can you tell folks just a quick version of that? Because they're like, what are they – iPads. What can you explain that?
Sure. So the iPad situation is we're trying to put an iPad in every patrol car, and right now we have nearly 200 out there.
Now, how does that help?
And that iPad connects immediately to a clinician who can help someone who is in a mental health crisis or substance use crisis get to the crisis center, or our crisis team can follow up with them. Or our homeless outreach team.
Y'all are kind of riding along virtually. You're doing a ride along with them.
Exactly. Yeah. 24/7 availability. Crisis centers open 24/7. So law enforcement bring folks to us in lieu of arrest all of the time. And I think that's making a huge impact in the number of people with mental illness who are in jail, and helping get those calls quickly resolved with treatment. And the homeless outreach team is an officer from Mobile PD and a clinician from Alt Point who's a veteran who goes out into these homeless
who's
camps.
Been a guest with us before.
Exactly. Yeah. And addresses in immediate needs. And I think, you know, one of the real success stories is last week they were able to get a veteran who was in his 70s living out of his car in Sage Park into veteran housing. And he's now connected with his benefits and with VA care. And it was all like us, the city, and VOA, Eagles Landing, and the VA working together to make all those things happen. And so it's really a united effort of all of the resources.
So as success stories are great. And yeah. I love the idea of trying to, I mean, you want to help everybody, obviously, but to make the time spent on those right now that want help, mm-hmm. and then have the work to connect, you know, those people maybe that are having a mental health issue, to try to move them into the category of somebody who wants some help.
Exactly.
All right. Then, of course, like I always ask on this, somebody listening to us today has that person in mind, maybe. That currently is in that place where you said, hey, they're couch surfing. They're right there to need some help. Or somebody who is maybe a step or two away. How do they reach out maybe to put, you know, if they know that person may not be asking or may be ignorant to what's available. How do they reach out on behalf of somebody?
This is why partnerships are so important. Collaboration. The school system have social workers, Mobile mm-hmm. County. Those social workers are entrenched in this in social services, trying to help families that are identified by others who may be needing help of some sort, whatever help that may be. They are our connection to those families, and they're currently working with us now in collaboration, trying to identify individuals that we can actually help and direct to additional services. Whether it's the career center, I mean, we make connections with everyone. The whole goal, again, is how do we address all areas of public safety? And I see it as a public safety need as well, because someone without shelter is in jeopardy of serious issues and dangers. So when we can help someone identify resources that will give them some sense of security, then the building blocks to reach that self-actualization can occur.
It's good. It's a good thing to have the resources, and also to reach out to Alta Point. How do folks do that?
450-2211 is our access to care line, and they can specifically ask for homeless outreach team services or the crisis center.
Dr. Gibson, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Director Graves, Deputy Director, good to meet you as well. Come back and see me soon.
Yes, we'll do.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.